It worked. It's hard to believe even now, but it worked. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He who was executed is alive once more. We killed him, but he did not remain dead. We crucified him, and yet behold, he is alive, risen from the grave, walking and talking with his disciples, breaking bread, eating, breathing, living. Our sins nailed him to the cross, and yet he is alive once more. Hallelujah! Praise God, he is risen. He is risen indeed. But what does that mean? What does it mean that our Christ has risen? What does it mean that our God refuses to stay dead? We talk about the risen Christ, but somehow the wonder and the significance has fallen away. He came back to life. So what? A few weeks ago, one of you came up and asked me, "So, is Jesus a zombie?" I think the person was joking, but actually, it's a pretty good question. The Bible tells us that many folks returned from the dead, and people in the medical field will tell you that the line between life and death is becoming more and more difficult to define. People have their heart stop all the time, and many of them, through CPR or other life-saving means, come back to us. There are even stories of people being legally dead for several minutes, miraculously coming back. I've read cases of people accidentally being sent off to the morgue only to wake up later, a little confused as to how they got there. It is not as simple as it once was to determine that a person is dead for good. So in this world, why is it so special that Jesus comes back from the dead? What separates him from the myriad of people that return to a normal life after we think that they have died? What separates him from Lazarus or the other people that Jesus raises from the dead? What separates him from the folks that the ancient prophets or the apostles raised? What makes this man, this Jesus, so special? Last week, I talked about how Jesus' actions during Holy Week made a statement. But I never really said what that statement was. In fact, that sermon was deliberately left unfinished because Passion Sunday, last week, is only completed today on Easter. Jesus' actions during his last week before his execution made statements about his coming kingdom. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, just as the ancients prophesied the next king would do. He overturned the temple because what was happening in his house was wrong. He declared that he and the Father were one, something that, if not true, would have been blasphemy. He used divine language about himself. He did all of this to declare that he was the rightful king. And at first, it seemed that he was only saying that he was the rightful king of Jerusalem. But it is more than that. He was making the statement that he was the rightful king over everything. And willingly going to his death made a statement about what it means to be that type of king. All of these actions declared to the world that he was king, but his followers did not come to defend his rule. In fact, they scattered, denied that they knew him. They panicked, as we would have in their places. And despite the fact that every action that Jesus took proclaimed that he was the rightful king, he was crucified. They hung him on a tree, and they killed him in disgrace. But here's the really great thing. According to the Gospel of John, this is the greatest proclamation of his kingship. For the Gospel of John, the cross is not a humiliation. It is an exaltation. For the Gospel of John, the cross is a throne. Jesus is glorified and exalted as he hangs on his throne. As Caesar sat on his throne many miles away, Jesus Christ, the King of all creation, sat on his throne. It looked like disgrace, but for the Gospel of John, it was Jesus being magnified. Jesus' statement was that he was a new kind of king, a king that is exalted by sacrificing himself for those he loves. Jesus' statement was that mortal kings, even benevolent ones like David, whom he himself was compared, could only be so good. At the end, they are powerless to save. It is only the God-man Jesus, Jesus Christ, ruler of the universe, that can be the proper king. Jesus' statement was that this king, this almighty king, loved his people so much that he was willing to be exalted in death, willing to sacrifice himself for his people's sake, willing to suffer humiliation and die, willing to treat the cross as a throne, also that we, his undeserving people, the very ones that crucified him, might be saved. But we didn't know that. We could not have known that last week. When we hauled Jesus off, when we shouted that we wanted Jesus to be crucified, we didn't know we were exalting our Lord. We thought we were crucifying him. We thought we were torturing him. And last week I declared to you that our sin killed our God. But that is the amazing thing. Despite the fact that we actively tried to sabotage God's plan, it still worked. Jesus rose from the dead. Earlier, I asked why it was special that he rose from the dead when we believe that others have as well. And here's the answer. Jesus rose from the dead not to a mere mortal existence. Jesus rose from the dead to an immortal and eternal reign. Lazarus died again. The folks that the prophets and the apostles raised died again. People in our hospitals who are returned to a normal existence well after we thought it would be possible, they all die again. Jesus, the risen one, did not die. Jesus rose from the dead to never die. Jesus defeated death. One of the most influential and beautiful ways of viewing the cross event is that Jesus died so that he could battle the forces of evil, the devil, death. He died and death thought that it had claimed the Son of God, but Jesus battled and fought death. And rising from the dead, never to die again, was his victory over the forces of death. But it wasn't a private victory. That God, being enthroned on the cross, willingly allowing himself to be crucified for us, makes a statement. In defeating death, he won. In rising from the grave, he was victorious in the most important battle. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, because Adam sinned, we die. Because Jesus was victorious over death, we live. And that is the good news of Easter. Jesus coming back from the dead is meaningless without the rest of the message. Yes, he is risen, but so what? Without the rest of the story, it hardly matters. But it does matter, specifically because the rest is true. Because Jesus lives, we live also. Because Jesus will never die, we have eternal life. Because Jesus defeated death, we can be made alive. And that matters. That statement that Jesus was making in his last week before being executed is that he is a new kind of king. He tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is ruler not simply over earthly armies or empires. He is ruler over life itself. He is ruler over the cosmos, the very being that we are. He rules over everything. Jesus, our King, has defeated death. He has won the battle for us. Our King grants to us the gift of eternal life. But it doesn't end there. In our epistle text, Paul proclaims that if we have been raised with Christ, we must seek the things that are above. our proper response to this king, the one who gave up everything for our sake, our proper response is awe and wonder. Because Christ died and rose again for our sake, we have eternal life. Or put another way, because Christ died and rose again for us, we are granted citizenship in his eternal kingdom. And the proper response to joining his kingdom is truly to fall on our faces and worship him in his glory. Because Christ died and rose for us, you and me, who did not deserve it, we are allowed to live. And not only live, but live as heirs of Christ and his kingdom forever and ever. And for that, the only possible course of action is for us to worship God, to praise our Christ, to love and adore him. And we do that. We do that every time we enter his sanctuary. We do that every time we sing his glory. We do that every time that we hear his scriptures proclaimed in these halls. We seek the things that are above. We seek the things that are godly when we worship him in his glory. And we do that because it is truly the only course of action that makes sense. We declare this amazing, near absurd fact to be true, that Jesus Christ, the very and true God, died for our sins. But he did not remain dead. Instead, he rose again, and our only logical course of action is to devote our lives to his worship. So come. How will you worship your God? How will you devote your life to the one who gave his life for you? How will you seek the things that are above? How will you declare from this day forward that he is risen and that that matters? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.